And now is correct. I am Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Welcome to the show, folks. It's good to be with you as we move through the next hour of various activities. Please give us a call if you have any questions concerning your do-it-yourselfer projects. The phone number here would be 520-790-2040. The Handyman's Haven has two locations in the metropolitan area. The main one is in Tucson. Actually, it's in downtown South Tucson, 6 blocks south of 22nd Street at 1724 South 6th Avenue. It's a big yellow building on the west side of the street. Our phone number on location is 520-624-7200. The hours of operation are from 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the early evening. We are open on Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday and various holidays, which reminds me that on July 4th, we will be closed for that day as we celebrate the recognition and the independence of the United States of America. As you know, there's a fine program going on at the Marriott Hotel downtown. Charles, on his earlier programs, announced that, and I do highly support that. Great program, lots of good food, good movie, and everybody had a grand time. I've been to several of those, and it's a very enjoyable and relaxed evening or afternoon for the activity. One movie that I do remember, it was very stunning, was the 30 Seconds Over Tokyo with General, as we know, Billy Mitchell being the co-pilot or the main pilot of the lead airplane. His co-pilot, Lieutenant Colonel Cole, just passed away late last year. To be living that long and seeing so many activities associated with that type of a program. So great program at the Marriott Hotel. Give it some consideration to spend the afternoon. Our Green Valley location is at the northern end of Green Valley, right off of the Duval Mine Road, west of the I-19 situation. The hours of operation in Green Valley are from about 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The address is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. If you ever go down there and you want some good Mexican food, you can visit Manuel's Mexican food restaurant. And when you walk out of the door, if you just continue walking and go across the median and everything, you'll probably walk directly into A Handyman's Haven. Terry Smith is the manager involved in the Green Valley location. We do a lot of activities in the mainly the unincorporated area of Pima County. We have lots of things going on at A Handyman's Haven, as I've explained in the past. What's come up recently that's sort of interesting is that we're working with various individuals who have very small homes available for the public. A lot of them are studios, and a lot of them are one bedrooms, and in the process, everything in the area is minimized. And I do compliment people when it comes to this type of philosophy, because what characteristically happens, they put the large appliances in, such as a 30-inch wide stove. They put in 36-inch refrigerators. The countertops end up becoming almost zero as far as working goes. The microwave is sitting on the top of the stove, taking up 30 inches. And it's very, very compact and tight and very difficult to maneuver through the kitchen area as well as the entire apartment or one-bedroom type unit complex from that standpoint. So what has been requested for us to accomplish at A Handyman's Haven is in a pantry type cabinet, or maybe we can just use some regular cabinets. We're putting a small refrigerator as an example, like an under-counter type refrigerator, on top of the under-counter type refrigerator. We're putting a microwave, and we're putting this in about a 24-inch wide cabinetry. So you're doing the same thing as you do with the big 30s, except you're taking up 6 inches less. A lot of times these are pantry cabinets that we're working with that go up to 7 feet tall. So you have the storage capability above everything above that that you can utilize for various type things. The other thing that we are working on, and this I know for a fact will become fruition, we're putting the water coolers that are available today for people that would like to use bottled water. That's the 5 gallon bottled water. But you can get water coolers today that produce cold water with the little refrigeration unit that it has in it. It also can give you hot water because it has a heater involved. That hot water is so hot that you need to be careful. There's a good safety device on them that when you energize that, you get your fingers and have an insulated cup available because you can get yourself burned rather rapidly. So we're making cabinetry units in this caliber. A lot of them have drawers on the bottom or maybe have drawers above the rest of it. And so it really minimizes the space. It looks very efficient and well utilized. They're able to use small refrigerators, but they could use an 18-inch dishwasher as an example. That would work very well in that type of an apartment. So those are a couple of the main things that are coming up that we're working on rather diligently, as well as those that have face frames with damaged boxes behind the face frame. We are in construction phase of repairing the face frame itself and putting a brand new box behind that. We've completed a couple major projects. We got a couple more to go, and that seems to be coming in on a weekly basis in order to preserve and keep the cost down. We did have one customer who came in. He has a sink base that needs to be repaired and the new box repaired behind that or built behind that. And the contractor organization that they're working with said that's going to cost between $6,000 and $8,000, and it looks like we're going to be able to do it for somewhere around $600, and he can take it home and get the whole thing put back together again. So use your creative mind yourself when you're sitting out there and think of a handyman's haven of having a mill shop and carpentry capability of doing a lot of items associated with your cabinetry and make them work very efficient for each and every one of you. When it comes to countertops as an example, as we've talked about in the past, you know, it looks like we're coming up at the end of our first segment here, and I'll get involved with the countertops on how economically priced they can be. Our production engineer today is none other than the famous John Couch and his company that does specialty a design type coffee mug. So please give him a call at the studio here. He can help you out. John, welcome to the show, and just take it away, and we'll see you folks after the break. Now, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice of A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030 is the frequency, the voice, the trusted local news and talk. We've been talking about some activities that have been progressing at A Handyman's Haven. Mentioned a little bit about countertops as we left the last break. And when it comes to countertops, A Handyman's Haven can provide you with many sorts of laminate countertops, as well as quartz countertops and natural stone countertops. Natural stone themselves consists of granites, marbles, travertine, slate, soapstone, and those types of countertops. They are beautiful. They do come at various price ranges. And one thing that I would like the listening public to be well aware of, that a laminate countertop is still the lowest price countertop per square foot, per linear foot, per install, or whatever else that it may happen to be. At A Handyman's Haven, we do carry 7 colors in stock. or three of them are in one finish and four of them are in another type of finish. Most laminate countertops come in various types of finishes. But for a 10-foot piece of integrated countertop that has the backsplash integrated right into the counter itself, you can purchase that for $90, far less than any granite slab that's available or marble slab or any other natural stone products that's available in the Tucson metropolitan area. All straight cuts on your laminate countertop are complimentary. So if you come in and you need a 10 feet in a case like this and it's broken up into 2-foot pieces, that could be easily 4 pieces of countertop that you're going to get, 5 pieces total with 4 cuts. All those cuts are complimentary, and we can produce that in a rather fast fashion and get you on your way. We also have available all the parts and other types of cuts if you may need them for your kitchen or laundry room or wherever else that you may like to have a counter. If it could be a craft room, it could be an office complex. They are excellent for commercial uses from that standpoint. A lot less expensive. In my opinion, they do look as pretty and as beautiful as many of the natural stones, because the image that's on a laminate countertop happens to be a photograph image of natural stone. They do vary in presentations, and that makes it extremely unique when it comes for a laminate. The main company that most of us know about, and of course I'm dating myself in a case like this, is the Formica company from the 1900s, and they're still extremely assertive in many of the types of countertops they provide. They have magnetic countertops that you can use. They have writable countertops that are available. So lots of activities for lots of rooms in your home that can be extremely effective and extremely efficient when it comes to the money end of the operation. So keep that in mind for countertops, as not only do we have cabinets, but we also have countertops. And as many of you, especially the ones reading the Arizona Daily Star, you're becoming aware that the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 is coming up, and we are going to be nominated in those categories when it comes about of cabinets and countertops, or countertops and cabinets, and we would truly appreciate your vote on a daily basis from any and all computers that you have within your realm of your computer industry. So we'll give you more information when that comes along, in order to keep that information proceeding down the line. One of the other activities that we're being involved with is that a customer has approached us for equipping a large room, which is probably about 90 feet of wall space, about 14 feet tall, as a library. We do have the capability with our cabinetry of providing the bookcases that are necessary and needed for a library of that nature. We're also able to come up with the library system that many of you have seen, with the rolling ladders that go around the perimeter of the room, that you're able to get to the books that are on a higher level. So keep us in mind for major projects like that, as well as we got bracing that's available. If you're going to do a countertop off of a wall and you're going to put some heavy weights on it, we have bracing available that's capable of sustaining 500 pounds of load in a static type environment. All you need to do, folks, is find the studs in the wall and then anchor these big L brackets that also have a section in the L bracket itself where you can weave wiring through it and pass that in a very, very safe manner. So something good for you in a countertop area. In the library area, and A Handyman's Haven is the place to go. A couple other items to talk about. We'll talk about the energy and efficiency of items that you can create for your home. The article that I've been reading is discussing with us about what the boomer buyer features that are available. The boomers, so to speak, are those people that are over 55 years old, and they sure know a lot about what's taking place, as well as they like to improve the efficiency of many of the homes. So in older homes, there are lots of ways to improve the efficiency, as well in some of the newer homes, or a new different home that you may want to purchase and you need to take a look at. So one thing to think about is the insulation systems that are in these homes. I do know that when I purchased my home, I found out down the road in doing various remodeling projects that the insulation in my home that was in the ceiling was nothing more than a piece of craft paper with aluminum foil attached to the craft paper. And that was tacked between the ceiling joists, and that was the insulation. I didn't quite think it was very effective, but that's what they used back in the early days as far as creating an air gap. As we well know, heat and things of that nature, the cold doesn't like to transfer across air gaps. So that was a good thought back in that era. I do have a 1950s home as an example, and that was quite common. So when I was doing some major remodeling, I actually either put in all bat insulation in those types of areas if I could get to it, or we could blow insulation in. So in one part of the home, I had to blow, as they call it, R32, with a big truck and a big blower system and lots of tubes. And the individual had to crawl up in a little crawl space that was up there, which was about 20 inches tall, and distribute this blown insulation. It's been a great asset from that type of a home. When it came to the gable area of the ceiling, we had to go out and remove the bird plates that are sort of situated between the roof rafters, and then blow that in, push the holes all the way up as far as we could, and then back it down as we were blowing the insulation. It's been a great asset in the house from that standpoint. If you're building a brand new home and you have control over the area that's between the gabled roof and the ceiling joists, the roof rafters and that, I would highly recommend you think about insulating the roof rafters with a good R32 or whatever that you could attach up there, and then also do that on the ceiling joists. So right away, when you do an R factor of that nature, a 32 on the roof rafters and 32 on the ceiling joists, you now have an R64 insulated area between the outside roof structure and the inside ceiling arrangement of the home. When it comes to windows, as an example, there is a great improvement that can be accomplished on the windows, and that is most windows are considered a mu factor, which is the Greek U as we know it. It's called mu, M-U, and that is equal to 1 over the R rating. So if you happen to have a 32-inch insulation bat of some sort, you put divide 32 into 1, and then that becomes your mu factor. So the mu factor in that case will be in the vicinity of about 0.03. And that'll give you the resistance rating if you're more inclined to utilize the R factor over the mu factor. So when it comes to where your heat loss and heat gain is going to be in your home, it's going to go vertical. The common factor that is used is 80% of your heat loss. As we know, heat rises and goes up to the ceiling. It's going to be vertical, and 80% of your heat gain is going to come in from the ceiling or from the roofing with the bright sun that we have here in Tucson or in any area when it comes to that type of situation. So that's where, in my opinion, that most of the insulation should go in order to reduce that. Not only will it save you on maintaining a good temperature in a home it'll also save you on your air conditioning system, be in the heating or cooling environment that is throughout the house. So keep that in mind when you want to improve the efficiency of that area. I'll talk about a couple more items that will improve the efficiency as we get past this second segment and go into our break on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. So, John, have at it. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio. AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Appreciate being with you today as we discuss various aspects. We've been talking about some energy efficiencies, things that we can utilize in your home. You heard one of the advertisers on the program just before this, and I do have a couple items in my home that is extremely significant, and one of them is, as each of us well knows, that when you turn on your hot water in your home, depending upon how far away your hot water heater is, will give you an indication of how long you may have to wait for hot water to come to draw your bath. If you happen to be taking a bath, fire up, not literally fire up, but open up your shower as an example, to take your shower in the morning, etc. And many people I know are probably wasting anywhere from 5 to 10 gallons of water in order to get the hot water before they can take their shower. I do have a friend of mine, as an example, has been using 5-gallon buckets in their shower. They've been collecting the cold water, and then they've got to carry that outside and water their plants or water their inside plants, if however they want to do it, in order to save and preserve as much water as they can. But when it comes to the water bill, though, you're still using the water. So, yes, you're not letting it go down to the drain and into your leaching field or into the sewage system. But one thing you can do, and the solar store is capable of accomplishing this for you, is put recirculating pumps on your water system that comes into your bathroom. So by doing that, what basically occurs is that it draws the water that's in your piping, the hot water line, and recycles it back into the cold water line. And then being that it is what I call a closed system, because with no other water running in your home, then that water is going to go into the weakest spot due to the pressure, and that happens to be back in the top of your hot water tank. And so that continually recycles. And I know in my house, between 25 and 30 seconds, with the shower being fully blasted, I would have hot water available within about 5 to 7 seconds at the spigot. So I remotely turn on the recirculating pump, and if it runs for 25 or 30 seconds, I test it a couple times afterwards to see if there is sufficient warm or hot water there, and it only runs about 1 second in that cycle. And then I go in and take my shower, and I've got cold water. Or the hot water comes in about 5 to 7 seconds. So that greatly reduces the amount of water that I use, which is the most important part, let alone if you want to save that short pieces of water that's available there. I call it short, or a couple quarts of water that you can use for watering various types of activities. The other efficient system that I have is I have an exhaust fan system in my attic. My attic is not that big. It's a gabled roof system, so I think it peaks out at about 20 inches, 25 inches or so. But it's hermetically controlled, and it's solar-powered. So I've got a couple fans on my roof, as an example. And with that being in mind, it fires up when it's set at a certain temperature and keeps the air that it would draw from the home itself. I do have venting systems in the home that will take water, or not water, take air out of the home that's maybe hot, especially in the summertime, and escape it to the outside atmosphere. So that's a solar power unit, which is very efficient when it comes to that nature. The other item that I have is a solar hot water system. And that's very, very important because, again, it's not a voltaic system, which provides electricity for you, but it recycles hot water out into the sun, or cold water out into the sun, It's temperature controlled. It has freezing positions on it that so it won't freeze and fires up to be recycled. So great systems. Three very efficient systems that keeps my utility bills and water usage at a very, very low level. So those are some things that are important when you come and talk about efficiency in your home. The other thing that you may want to take a look at is the National Green Building Standards. Homes today can get a green building certification. And if you happen to be involved with purchasing a home of that nature, keep that in mind. Review the standards before you buy the home. And in that process itself, here's a couple of items that are important. Since most of us, as part of the Environmental Protection Agency, has determined the average American spends about 90% of his or her time indoors in various capacities. So let's take a look at your paints. One thing that maybe not necessarily energy efficient, but it sure could be health efficient, and that is you can buy paint with low or no VOCs, as we call it, Victor Oscar Charlie's. And VOC stands for volatile organic compounds. So volatile organic compounds are generally, they can be considered as carcinogenic. They are things that need to be concerned. Many of us remember of years past, in 1978 as an example, the federal government, the EPA, had passed a law that no longer are lead paints being used. So your home should be painted with non-lead paints if it was a home that was built after 1978. Hard surface flooring. You do want to have hard surface flooring that's going to be non-emitting of various types of VOCs, of things of that nature. Many of us know that off-gassing is prevalent. The EPA standards that the federal government has passed concerning formaldehydes and the types of glues that are being used in the type of flooring may develop off-gassing. The California standards in their California Air Research Board are much more stringent when it comes to these EPA standards or their board standards, and they're known as CARB too. So the California Air Research Board, that's an acronym, CARB. We're on phase two at the present time period. A. Handyman's Haven has been through phase one, and many, many products today are manufactured in the United States and even coming from the foreign entities. If they're going to be sold in California, they have to be recognized and tested as being CARB 2, and the certification is available on those products if you are of interest. Many products off-gas, as we know, and a lot of people cannot assume the breathing of the off-gassing nature of that formaldehyde and other activities that may come. Ventilating certain rooms are very, very important. Some of you may recognize that your air conditioning system will supply air to a bathroom or clothes dryer rooms, utility rooms, or things of that nature, but there is no return air. And so your ventilating system is actually no way. That's why there are recirculating fans in some bathrooms, especially. But other than that, air comes in, and if anything else, the air is escaping through the rest of the home if you happen to have a breathing area underneath your door. So those are certain rooms that require additional thought process from that standpoint. The other thing that's important, that zero leakage homes. Homes are being built today with so-called zero air leakage. That means air does not pass through any portion of the walls, the joints, the structure, the mating of the wall structure itself to the flooring, through the doorways, which are rather difficult but can be handled relatively easily. And so with those types of zero-certified homes, zero-leakage-certified homes, they have to have a fresh air supplied system. So that sort of goes back to the evaporative coolers that we've had on many of our homes. Yeah, you get fresh air all the time, period, but you get all the impurities that are in the air out there. So not only do you have to have a fresh air supplied system today, but you need to have a good filtering system that needs to be taken care of and on a representative basis, and so it doesn't get clogged up and provides you fresh air for breathing. Otherwise, you're going to be breathing your old stale air that you're exhausting throughout your home. So keep that in mind when you're taking a look at your home or whatever is going to require from that. On air conditioning systems, they ought to be balanced. And what that means is that it being balanced is that each supplier or register of air that comes into your various rooms should come at a pressure system that whereby all the registers that supply air are supplying an equal amount of airflow. And in setting up the ducting system for these types of air conditioning systems, anytime that you pull off air in order to maintain the same pressure for the next pull off down the road, the diameter of the pipe reduces in size to compensate for the loss of air pressure. So basically all the barometric damper or the adjustable damper systems are pressure rated throughout each individual room, so you have equal pressure coming in. I know a lot of us will utilize evaporative cooler systems and attach a air conditioning system to it, which is quite common, but you'll have a difficult time balancing the airflow so you have equal pressure throughout each room, especially since you have no return air in each individual room. Many homes today have a central return air system, and that's easily determined by finding out where your mechanical room is. That's the room that houses the central system that blows, has the evaporator in it and discharges air or heated air or cool air throughout the home. So that becomes very, very important to make sure that that is also balanced appropriately. Looks like we're coming up on our completion of our third segment, and so we'll get on to some other topics after it's over with on AM 1030, The Voice, with your local news and talk. So please give us a call, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone from A. Henny Manshaven in the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030 is the frequency, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. The next subject I like to get involved with, but I'm going to divert here a little bit. Those of you that may be leaving our program after this, you may want to think about sticking around and listen to Jeff Prather of the Prather Point. He has excellent information and current information on many times a local political scene and various other things that are occurring in relationship to the monstrous activity level of things that are occurring throughout our governmental entities, most of it being in Washington, D.C., but it impregnates throughout the entire United States as most of us talk about things of that nature. We're talking a little bit about items in a home, the efficiency. I like to talk a little bit now about disaster preparedness in the home. We basically have many homes that are built and constructed under different code factors because the codes change every year or every 2 years, and the governmental entities have to review those codes and accomplish the proper amendments that they need to do in order to provide a code for the construction industry. Right now, I believe that all the governmental entities in Southern Arizona have brought their code standards up to the 2018 code. I do know that this has been under constant review for over a year from that standpoint as they were working on it at the beginning of January of 2018. So here we are in 2019 and the code basically is being adopted. So those are some of the new criteria that's afforded the home builders in building the homes that so they can comply with these various activities that are requiring energy efficient homes and things of that nature. If you have an older home, many of the items are grandfathered in even during the sales aspect of the home, but that may not be the most desirable situation for your family and the home that you're living in, or the cost that's going to be ensued as a result of the utilities continually going up on a regular basis. I've never known anybody or the entities in any place where I've been that has lowered the cost of utilities throughout the span of an individual's life. So utilities are always going to become a heavy burden. The gas, the electricity, the water, the telephone, the television, whether you use cable or whatever other types of systems you want to use, radios, etc. We can go back, and most anybody can, and you add up your utility bill, and you'll be absolutely stunned at the percentage of your earnings is attached to your utility bills yourself. So sound building codes are in place today in most communities that are governed by governmental entities in that nature. So keep that in mind. The properties that suffer the most damage in a national disaster of some sort happen to be the older homes. And there's many, many older homes available today for sale, as well as people living in them. And we many times can obtain historic nature of our homes, so therefore it cannot be modified or changed as a result of that. So this is an inhibiting factor in improving the efficiency of these of homes. One prime example would be, as most of us know today in the construction field, that the bottom plates, studded plates on the concrete floor, are bolted to the concrete. From that up, there are ties. We know many of those as Simpson ties. That's because the Simpson company started manufacturing those years past, and that ties the bottom plate to the studs, the vertical portion of the wall. There are steel tile tie plates that tie the studs on the upper level to the top plate, and then the top plates are directly tied to the roof rafters or ceiling joists, and it continues on up. On a large walls, as an example, the large walls are cross-strapped and anchored together on all the studs in order to prevent torquing or moving of the walls in order to maintain the structure from that standpoint. I can remember in Tucson, back in the 50s or 60s or so, where I used to live on the east side of town, that a big hurricane twister came through, not so much of a hurricane, so to speak, but of that nature, the big swirling type activities, and the house that was across the street from where we lived, this happened to be on Pima Avenue, or Pima Street as it's known today, it's not an avenue, that the entire roof of the house was picked off of the house and taken from the front portion and dumped in the backyard. So this can happen today with the older homes that do not have the structural integrity as required by the code in today's environment. There are approximately 137 million homes that were built before in 2010, and many of these are not subjected to the present code level. So these are some things to be thinking about with your home and emergency disaster preparedness of that nature. Windows are another situation of a concern. Today's code environment requires all bedrooms to have a window, and the access through the window needs to be free of about 5.7 square feet, if I remember correctly. So they need to be a sliding window, which is slides left and right, or it could be a single hung or a double hung window, which opens vertically. And the main reason being is that if you don't only have two doors in your home, or one door, like some homes have, They have a front door and possibly a back or side door that goes into a carport or a garage that the emergency individuals that we're calling because of our disastrous nature that has come about has to be able to get into home in order to assist in the emergency preparedness that we are so in need of at that time period. And that means that they, why so big, would one say? Well, they're carrying backpacks and breathing devices. You know, if you happen to have a fire in your house or you happen to have an emergency and somebody needs to get in. So they have all their equipment that they need on their backpack, and they need to get that in their backpack through the opening itself, and that's why their requirement per square footage. Even if you haven't updated your home and you're going to do rentals as an example, I do know that you, in certain entities, you need to get inspected in order to have a rental. And if you do have an area of a home where you plan on having sleeping people in that area, it needs to have today's code requirements of having accessibility from the emergency people that may be required. The other thing that's sort of interesting is, do you have a window that is close to your doorways that you are utilizing for exit and entrance into a home? And if you do, the single cylinder deadbolt, as we call it, is not a very secure device when somebody can break a window and reach around a corner and undo the knob and undo the latch system on the knob or lever latching system that you happen to have and get into the front door. Many homes today are built with 42-inch doors instead of the 36, which are pretty common, which gives an excellent area to move out almost any sort of furniture, appliances, electrical, electronic equipment in the home, as well as artwork and things of that nature. They can get that out rather rapidly. I was told many years ago that a thief, as an example, does not plan to be in a home more than 3 minutes, and he's not going to carry a weapon. Well, unfortunately, today, there are many thieves out there that cannot be classified as professional because they carry a weapon, whichever it happens to be, a gun or a knife, and they are looking for things, and they're going through the house ransacking everything they can, and many people have walked home and found somebody in their home that has been ransacking it. So in emergency preparedness, one needs to consider what type of deadbolt system that you're going to put on your house. And a common thing is, from a security aspect, a double-cylinder deadbolt is better, but the fire inspector says a double-cylinder deadbolt is not good because you have to put the key into the inside portion of the deadbolt cylinder in order to get out. Well, folks, put the key in at nighttime, and as you crawl around the floor to get to your escape route, you can have the key already in the door. All you have to do is twist it, and you can get on out. So there is an easy way of accomplishing that if that is the case. Do have flashlights available in most areas of your home. That's so if the power goes off or something and you need to turn on your light, that you can have a flashlight ready available. Today's LED lights last for a long period of time over the battery, acid battery types of systems that we've used over the years. So lots of ways to improve the efficiency. I know that when guests come to my house, I brief them on how to get out of the house. And if it needs to be, you grab a chair, which is in every room, and they can break the window and get right out through the windows if they can't get the window open appropriately. So some good ideas about taking care of aspects of that nature. I was going to get involved with a little bit about contractors and things of that nature. One little interesting thing that occurred this past week, and I'll try to get this out as fast as I can. Customer came in wanting to remodel their home as well as their bathroom, and they were looking at bathroom cabinets that were available, and they've got about an 8-foot span that they need to have cabinets and countertops and sinks on. And when the contractor bid the job, he set up an allocation of $600 in order to do this bathroom. Well, right away, I figured out just the cabinetry themselves was going to cost about $800-$900 with our most affordable cabinet line in order to equip the bathroom with what the customer was requesting. So we'll talk a little bit more about this next week and what can occur, as well as how to look for a good contractor. So remember, folks, Jeff Prather is on next, the Prather Point, with some excellent information about the past week of what's going on. I am Maurice Cerrone, signing off from A Handyman's Haven, and we'll see you folks next week. So, John, take it away. Have a great week, folks.